Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, August 10th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
President Trump pushes to unilaterally extend stimulus measures.
Democratic state leaders cry foul, firing back on the White House orders.
Stimulus action from Congress remains stalled as disagreement on state aid takes center stage.
And U.S. coronavirus cases top 5 million as concerns surface about a third wave.
Thousands in the tri-state area are still without power nearly a week after Tropical Storm Isaias, plus a new low with COVID-19 cases for New York State. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Mets won, the Yankees lost, and 23-year-old Colin Morikawa emerged from the pack and won the PGA Championship.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak is being brought to you by Interactive Brokers. They charge margin loan rates from as low as 1.59%. Rates subject to change. Learn more at ibkr.com/compare.
And U.S. futures are struggling for direction to start the week. It is 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up by 5 points. Dow futures up 108. NASDAQ futures down 6. The DAX in Germany, little change to higher. The CAC in Paris up 0.4%. FTSE in London up 0.25%. 10 years up 3/32. Yield 0.55%. 2-year yield 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.5%. Up 61 cents. $41.83 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.5%. Up $10.50 at 20.38.70 an ounce. The euro at 1.1764 against the dollar. The yen at 105.99. John?
And Nathan, we begin with President Trump's push to unilaterally extend stimulus measures. His executive order would provide $400 a week to out-of-work Americans. 300 of that comes from federal funds, while 100 would come from the states.
We've gotten much of what we've wanted without having to give up anything. And that's very good. You can't beat that.
The president is also seeking to defer payroll taxes through the end of the year for workers earning less than $8,000 a month. That could give extra cash to employees, but won't help workers who've lost their jobs. Goldman Sachs expects the orders could force Congress to reach a more concrete stimulus by September. So does the president.
Nancy Pelosi wants to call and she wants to see if she can do something, but they're much more inclined to make a deal now than they would have been 2 days ago.
The exact impact of deferring payroll taxes also in question. It hinges on whether employers will stop withholding the money from paychecks. If they do, voters would likely pressure Congress to back the measure with legislation. If lawmakers don't, Americans could owe that money back to the government at the end of the year.
Well, Democratic state leaders are pushing back against the president's plan.
You can't now say to states who have no funding, and you have to pay 25% of the unemployment insurance cost.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says it's impossible for states to pay that amount. So does Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. There are also questions about the legality of the president's orders. White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow addressed that issue on ABC's This Week, heard on Bloomberg Radio.
Maybe we're going to go to court on them. We're going to go ahead with our actions anyway. Our counsel's office, the Treasury Department believes it has the authority to temporarily suspend tax collections. So we're banking on that.
The executive orders will likely face litigation over core constitutional principles like the separation of powers, plus lawsuits from landlords seeking to stop a measure to prevent evictions.
Still, the president hopes it will push lawmakers to reach a deal. Now we wait and see.
Right now, we need to come to agreement. We've got to meet halfway. We've got to do the best we can for the American people. But that what they're putting forth does not meet that standard.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi made her case on Fox News Sunday, heard on Bloomberg Radio. So did Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin.
We've said, let's pass legislation on the things we agree on and knock these off one at a time. And they've refused to do that until they get their $1 trillion for the states.
Steele Mnuchin says he's willing to listen to proposals from Democrats. So far, there's no word on whether talks are scheduled for today.
In the meantime, the coronavirus outbreak shows no signs of slowing. U.S. cases have now passed 5 million, with the last million of those coming in just 2 weeks. Now, former FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb is warning of a third wave of infections, this time in rural areas.
The concern now is that this has become so pervasive across the country that it could start to infect more rural communities that have largely been untouched to date and probably are a little bit more complacent because they have been untouched, but are still very vulnerable because the infection hasn't been there.
Gottlieb was on Face the Nation from CBS, heard on Bloomberg Radio. He says infections are already spreading in the Midwest and could be harder to control in rural areas.
Meantime, in California, health officials warn of a dramatic increase in cases as a backlog is cleared out. And here with more is Ed Baxter from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
The state has been experiencing a technical glitch. There was possibly 300,000 records unreported. HHS Secretary Dr. Mark Galley says he expects the system to be fully caught up in the next couple of days, then a bit of time to quantify them. Now, this hasn't affected the hospitalization numbers, so there is a very stark real number regarding ICU caseload. Almost a third of California's load are ICU patients, highest in more than a month. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Ed. Worldwide, Taiwan is one of the biggest success stories in fighting the pandemic. Health Secretary Alex Azar is in the country praising its response to the virus.
It's a true honor to be here to convey a message of strong support and friendship from President Trump to Taiwan.
It is the most senior visit to the country by a U.S. official in more than 40 years and is sure to anger China. In his remarks, Azar called democracy in Taiwan an inspiration to the world.
At the same time, China is hitting back against U.S. sanctions this morning. Beijing says it will retaliate with sanctions of its own against 11 Americans. Senators Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz, among those being targeted. It comes after the U.S. placed sanctions on 11 Chinese officials and their allies on Friday, including Hong Kong Chief Executive Carrie Lam. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, futures right now, they're mixed. The Dow futures up 102 points. S&P E-mini futures, they're up 5 points. And right now to the NASDAQ E-mini futures, they are down 6 points. And you are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. It's 6:07 on Wall Street, and let's get news from around the world this morning. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. Con Edison says it is offering up to $500 for people who lost food after last week's power outage from Tropical Storm Isaias. Some people are still in the dark from the storm, and frustrations are growing with utilities. This man on Long Island says PSE&G continually changes the date he should expect to have his power restored.
Call, I get a recording that says they'll be here Monday night at 11:30 p.m.
At its peak, Isaias knocked out power to more than 2.5 million customers in the tri-state area, with about 200,000 still in the dark. And what's worse, today is forecast to be another hot day. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the state reported its lowest one-day positive rate since the start of the pandemic. Cuomo says there was only 0.78% testing positive. COVID-19 cases have jumped 40% in late July among kids. That's according to a report from the American Academy of Pediatrics and the Children's Hospital Association. Less than 9% of all infections in the U.S. are with children. A Georgia school district has announced it will go completely remote. North Paulding High School, the school noted for its overcrowding photo amid the pandemic, has suspended its in-classroom learning. School officials have revoked the suspension of Hannah Waters, the teen who took the photo.
We could have delayed school so they could find more safety measures to follow in the school, and they could have found more plans for all the students and teachers and staff members, but they kind of just sent us into school and used us as guinea pigs to see what would happen later on.
U.S. intelligence officials believe that Russia is using a variety of measures to denigrate Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden ahead of the November election, and that individuals linked to the Kremlin are boosting President Trump's reelection. On CNN's State of the Union, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said it's a repeat of the 2016 election.
They need to tell the American people more. The American people, I believe, think they should decide who the President of the United States is, not Vladimir Putin making that decision for us.
Pelosi says Russia is actively 24/7 interfering in our election. Election officials in Belarus say the country's longtime authoritarian leader, Alexander Lukashenko, has won his sixth consecutive presidential term, taking over 80% of the votes. Officials released preliminary results of Sunday's election that resulted in mass protests all over Belarus and violent crackdown on the demonstrators. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 6:10 on Wall Street. Time now for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Here's John Steshauer.
Thanks, John. First golf major in 13 months and a thrilling final round of the PGA Championship in San Francisco. Down the stretch at one point, there was a seven-way tie for the lead. A youngster then went in front by himself.
Colin Morikawa from the front of the green. The chip, and it's in. Colin Morikawa with the chip from the front. It's a birdie. At 14, he's 11 under par for the championship.
Kevin Kugler on Westwood One is heard here on Bloomberg Radio. Two holes later, the 23-year-old Morikawa drove the green on a par four at his eagle, extended his lead. He won by two shots at the same age that Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods won their first PGA championships. Not a good road trip for the Yankees. They went 2-5. They had a 3-0 seventh inning lead at Tampa Bay. James Paxton was working on a shutout, and then back-to-back home runs for the Rays tied the game. They had a walk-off 4-3 win, scoring bottom of the ninth off Zach Britton. The Yanks stranded nine runners. Mets won a series for the first time. They cooled off the Marlins, winning 4-2 at Citi Field. Jacob DeGrom went five innings, now 2-0. The bullpen outstanding. Four relievers worked four scoreless innings and allowed just two hits, and rookie Andrés Giménez had three hits, scored three times for the Mets. Another St. Louis Cardinals series, this one against the Pirates, postponed due to the COVID outbreak on the team. Cardinals have yet to play in August. Major announcement could be coming sometime this week from the five power conferences. College football might be canceled entirely for 2020. John Steshauer, Bloomberg Sports. John.
All right, thanks, John. And right now, Dow futures are up 100 points. S&P futures, they were up 5. The Nasdaq E-mini futures, 4 points lower. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. U.S. futures are in a bit of a holding pattern after China said it would sanction U.S. officials in retaliation over Hong Kong. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are higher by 5 points, Dow futures up 99, NASDAQ futures down almost 4. 10 years up 3/32, yield 0.55%, 2-year treasury yield 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.4%, up 59 cents at $41.81 a barrel after Saudi Aramco said demand will continue to improve. COMEX gold is up 0.6% or $11.90 at $20.39.90 an ounce. The euro at 1.1761 against the dollar, the yen at 105.99. Get the JOLTS jobs report for the month of June at 10 a.m. Wall Street time, and Marriott and Royal Caribbean are among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That is a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. States are having to consider whether they can afford a plan from President Trump to extend additional unemployment benefits. The plan requires states to provide 25% of the funds, and it's unclear whether states have the money or the will to do it. Trump issued an executive order Saturday to provide an additional $400 a week in benefits after Congress failed to extend a $600 weekly benefit. But Trump's plan requires states to kick in $100 a week, and many states are already suffering budget woes related to the coronavirus. In baseball, the Yankees lost, the Mets won, the Orioles beat the Nationals 5-2. The Giants lost. The A's beat the Astros 7-2 after a bench-clearing brawl. In the NBA, the Nets and Celtics won. The Wizards lost. NHL action, the Capitals beat the Bruins 2-1. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, Michael, thank you. Coming up on 620 on Wall Street, we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. As Michael just mentioned, President Trump took executive action to offer $400 per week in supplemental unemployment benefits. Let's bring in Terry Haynes, our next guest, founder of Pangea Policy, to discuss the effort to reach a consensus. Terry, your view of what's going on in Washington right now.
On a clear day, you can see forever. I think what you saw over the weekend is Trump maximizing his leverage over a couple of I never thought he had unilateral leverage here, by the way, but Trump maximizing his leverage over fractious Republicans and Democratic leadership that may not have the complete support of all of their members. He's determined both on substantive and certainly on political grounds to occupy the middle here and essentially put the Congress on its back foot and try to do his best to make them come to a deal. And he judges it, I think, a political win-win, regardless of whether they do that or not. My view is that they're likelier than not, probably about 80-20, to come together and do a deal. That is a lower percentage than I've had it before. I think there's a rising possibility of a no deal, certainly, but I think it's a little more than a trailing risk, but not much more. But if he doesn't, then he will be on record politically as doing what's necessary to try to keep things going, and essentially daring the Congress and particularly the Democrats to try to stop him, which he would, which frankly he would enjoy doing for enjoy having them do for political reasons as well. So in sum, I think what we get is more pressure as a result of the president's gambit this weekend. I think you could hear that from Mrs. Pelosi over the weekend as well. She's gone from desperate to meet us halfway to engaging in prayers to saying that that they'll do the best they can and should do the best they can. And meanwhile, Senator Schumer was very silent over the weekend. That's usually a signal of a rethink on the Democratic side. So yeah. I expect to see something happen early in the week here.
Okay. There are threats of legal action. There are indications that the president on some areas might be on shaky legal ground. Does that even matter, or is that just noise?
Well, it matters. It matters in the long term. In the short term, it doesn't. The president is far from unique in trying to do something here. I can think of three presidents off the top of my head, Harry Truman, John Kennedy, and Ronald Reagan, all of whom expanded the limits of presidential power in order to deal with a crisis that was in front of them. Sometimes they end up winning those cases, sometimes they don't. But in the meantime, the gap will have been filled to a great extent, and the president, I think, judges that more important than the legalities. Some of this is certainly a stretch, but I think it's by no means none of them are beyond the pale here, and that's going to cause it's another reason why I think the Democrats are going to have a rethink.
Let's take a step back and just view from your perspective the economic implications of all this.
I think what it says to markets is there's some reassurance here, and as I say, some additional pressure on the Congress to do the longer-term deal that markets expect and they want. But if the if Congress walks away from this, firstly, nobody will be spared politically in terms of blame, whether it be Democrats or Republicans. Secondly, what you're going to have is a situation, by and large, where the economy stalls for a while. I mean, the economic impact of this, if there is no phase four, will be considerable in the short term. And that alone, I think, is one reason why I remain bullish that a deal gets done. Nobody wants to have the broader economic problem on their shoulders and to be blamed for it. And I think that alone will concentrate minds here in Washington over the next 24 hours or so.
Yeah, but in the final analysis, according to you, that there is the economic wherewithal to get things done and get done this week.
Oh, I think so. You know, work expands to fill the time allotted for all of us, including people in Washington. And the time allotted here is at most about a week from right now, because you'll have the Democratic presidential convention next week happening and the Republican convention happening the week after that.
Yeah.
I think there's a very strong political desire to want to get something done here, as well as the economic.
Terry, always a pleasure. Appreciate it. Terry Haynes, founder of Pangea Policy and ahead of the cash open on Wall Street. Dow futures right now, they're up 96 points. S&P futures, they're up 5, and the Nasdaq E-mini futures, 5 points lower. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are mainly higher after a push from President Trump to unilaterally extend stimulus measures. His executive orders would provide $400 a week to out-of-work Americans and look to defer payroll taxes through the end of the year.
We've gotten much of what we've wanted without having to give up anything. And that's very good. You can't beat that.
Goldman Sachs says the president's orders could force Congress to reach a more concrete stimulus deal by September, but the two sides remain far apart.
We've got to meet halfway. We've got to do the best we can for the American people. But that what they're putting forth does not meet that standard.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi making her case on Fox News Sunday, heard on Bloomberg Radio. So did Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin.
We've said let's pass legislation on the things we agree on and knock these off one at a time. And they've refused to do that until they get their $1 trillion for the states.
So far, there's no word on whether talks will resume today.
But meantime, the coronavirus outbreak shows no signs of slowing. U.S. cases have now passed 5 million, with the last million of those coming in just 2 weeks. And now former FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb is warning of a third wave of infections, this time in rural areas.
It could start to infect more rural communities that have largely been untouched to date and probably are a little bit more complacent because they have been untouched.
Gottlieb was on Face the Nation from CBS, heard on Bloomberg Radio. He says infections are already spreading in the Midwest and could be harder to control in rural areas.
Worldwide, Taiwan is one of the biggest success stories in fighting the pandemic. The Health Secretary, Alex Azar, is in the country today praising its response to the virus.
President Tsai's courage and vision in leading Taiwan's vibrant democracy are an inspiration to the region and to the world.
It's the most senior visit to the country by a U.S. official in over 40 years and is sure to anger China.
At the same time, China's hitting back against U.S. sanctions this morning. Beijing says it will retaliate with sanctions of its own against 11 Americans. Senators Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz are among those being targeted. It comes after the U.S. placed sanctions on 11 Chinese officials and their allies on Friday, including Hong Kong chief executive Carrie Lam. S&P futures are higher by 5 points. Dow futures up 105. NASDAQ futures down 2. 10 years up 3/32, yield 0.55%, yield on a 2-year 0.12%. The euro is at 1.1762 against the dollar. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And it's 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update now being brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond. Here's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. In New York, frustrations continue to grow as tens of thousands of residents say they are still in the dark after Tropical Storm Isaias knocked out their power almost a week ago. Cardiologist Andrew Latucci, who lives on Long Island, believes PSE&G should have been up front with utility customers instead of stringing them along day by day with false expectations.
We actually had crew that came by yesterday, and they promised it was going to be done today. Then this apparently the crew was reassigned.
At the height, 2.5 million customers were in the dark in the tri-state area. The state attorney general is now demanding answers. Meanwhile, Con Edison says we'll offer up to $500 to reimburse people who lost food due to spoilage. Democratic nominee Joe Biden leads President Donald Trump in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, two states won by the Republican in 2016 on the way to the White House. According to a CBS poll, Biden is up 6 points in each state, 48-42% in Wisconsin, and 49-43 in Pennsylvania. By a wide margin, voters surveyed said things in America are going badly, and Trump's handling of the coronavirus pandemic was a major issue. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says the threats of interference in the U.S. presidential election from Russia and China are not equal. She's pointing to a more serious risk with Russia's efforts to boost President Donald Trump's reelection bid. Pelosi spoke to CNN State of the Union.
Russia is actively 24/7 interfering in our election. They did so in 2016, and they are doing so now.
Pelosi was addressing an intelligence report last week that said Russia was already using a range of measures to undercut Joe Biden. For a second day, public anger erupted in Lebanon after last week's massive explosion from thousands of tons of stored ammonium nitrate. Thousands of protesters gathered outside Lebanon's parliament building in Beirut, hurling rocks at security forces who have been responding with tear gas. About 160 people were killed and 6,000 were injured. Meanwhile, just before leaving Morristown, New Jersey last night, President Trump says he has spoken with Lebanon's officials and pledged America's help.
We have 3 planes going over loaded up with medical supplies, food and water. We'll be sending additional planes.
Lebanon's prime minister says the only solution to save the country was to hold early elections. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. 6:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. And here's John Stashower.
Thanks, John. Star is born in the game of golf. Colin Morikawa, only 23 years old, turned pro last year, already had a couple of tour victories. And yesterday, Morikawa, who played college golf at Cal Berkeley, was back in the Bay Area for the PGA Championship. He was part of a 7-way tie for the lead down the stretch, but went ahead with a chip-in for birdie on the 14th hole. And then on 16, Morikawa drove the green on a par 4 and completed the eagle.
Starts the putter back. Slow roll toward the hole. It's in. All the volunteers have gathered around the 16th green as Colin Morikawa, driver to 7 feet, 7-foot putt for eagle. He is at 13 under par for the championship with a 2-shot lead and 2 holes to go.
Kevin Kugler had the call on Westwood One here, heard here on Bloomberg Radio. Morikawa shot a bogey-free 64. That's the lowest final round by a PGA champ in 25 years. He won the first major played since last July's British Open. Yankees lost 3-4 at Tampa Bay. They were up 3-0 seventh inning. The Rays rally. They hit back-to-back home runs off James Paxton to tie the game and then scored bottom of the ninth off Zach Britton to win 4-3. City Field, Mets beat the Marlins 4-2. Jacob deGrom now 2-0. He went 5 innings. Bullpen very sharp after that. Hottest team in baseball still the Oakland A's, 9-0 in August. 7-2 win over Houston, a game that included the benches clearing. Stanley Cup playoffs qualifying round ended with Columbus advancing 3-0 over Toronto. The first round starts tomorrow. The Islanders will play Washington. Their game one is Wednesday afternoon. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John.
All right, John, thanks a lot. It is now 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
An economic data point worth smiling about. I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Back in March and April, dental practices in the U.S. were among the businesses hardest hit by COVID-19 lockdowns, with employment falling 56%. As of mid-July, their job losses had narrowed to 7%, much more of a comeback than other hard-hit sectors have seen. Dentistry is among the highest risk activities imaginable amid a pandemic spread mainly via little bits of saliva. But it is an essential activity and one with economics that have allowed for a very careful approach to managing the risks posed by COVID. Still, the dentist can't go on like this forever. Most practices are seeing fewer patients than normal. Less than half are bringing in anywhere close to as much revenue as they did before the pandemic. I'm Justin Fox. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. And coming up today, earnings will provide a closer look at how the pandemic has impacted the travel industry. With more on that, here's Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
We'll hear today from hotel giant Marriott as well as cruise operator Royal Caribbean. As of mid-May, one quarter of Marriott's hotels were closed due to the pandemic. Occupancy at those that remain open is down sharply. Analysts are forecasting a loss of 42 cents a share. Royal Caribbean is also expected to sink into the red. Revenue is expected to be down 96% from last year, with cruise operations suspended for the entire quarter. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And some other stories we're following. Shares of Eastman Kodak, they're down more than 40% in early trading. The federal agency that announced a $765 million loan to Kodak less than 2 weeks ago says the offer is on hold, pending probes into allegations of wrongdoing. Mall operator Simon Property Group has reportedly been in talks with Amazon to turn some empty mall space into Amazon fulfillment centers. The Wall Street Journal also reports Amazon has talked with multiple mall landlords about putting its coming grocery store chain in former JCPenney locations. And Warren Buffett gambling on better days for Berkshire Hathaway. The company spent a record $5.1 billion buying back its own stock in the second quarter, and the conglomerate may have kept that higher pace going in July. Berkshire posted a 10% drop in operating profit. That was a smaller decline than analysts had forecast. At futures right now, they're mixed ahead of the cash open on Wall Street. NASDAQ E-mini futures down 2 points. The S&P 500 futures, they're up 5 points. And the Dow futures, they're up 102 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. U.S. equity futures are edging higher along with European stocks as President Donald Trump's executive actions to extend economic aid bolster investor enthusiasm. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are higher by 4 points. Dow futures up 95. NASDAQ futures are still lower by 4 points. 10 years up 3/32. The yield 0.55%. Yield on a 2-year 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.3%, up 55 cents at $41.77 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.5%, up $10.80 at $20.38.70 an ounce. The euro at 1.1755 against the dollar, and the yen is at 106.14. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. With millions of unemployed Americans beginning their week waiting for the latest round of coronavirus relief, President Trump's surprise executive actions left many questioning how that money is going to reach those who need it. The president, bypassing Congress over the weekend, signed an executive order that unilaterally restores unemployment benefits to millions but slashes the weekly checks to $400 while also requesting states share the cost already strapped for cash. Authorities in Portland, Oregon again declared a riot last night after protesters over the death of George Floyd marched to Union Building, blocked the road, and set dumpster fires. In baseball, the Yankees lost. The Mets won. The Orioles beat the Nationals 5-2. The Giants lost. The A's beat the Astros 7-2 after a bench-clearing brawl. In the NBA, the Nets and Celtics won. The Wizards lost. NHL action. The Capitals beat the Bruins 2-1. Global news 24 hours a day, on air, and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is 6:49 on Wall Street. And it's time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include, well, the states are wary of President Trump's move for them to kick in on the federal aid. And the president's payroll tax action is creating political and business risks. Also, China will sanction U.S. officials. And when it comes to white-collar crime, the Trump administration has overseen a significant decline in enforcement. Let's take a deeper dive into some of these stories this morning. We're joined by Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Kathleen, good Monday morning to you. What is the issue on the federal aid and the executive actions that President Trump has taken, and why are the states angry at this point?
Well, we're hearing from several governors, Andrew Cuomo of New York among them, who say that states just don't have the money to kick in 25% of this unemployment benefit. And there is an important distinction here. Unlike the federal government, state governments have to balance their budget. They can't do deficit spending. And so there is a real concern out there among some governors. It's worth noting we heard mostly and most vocally from Democratic governors. But there is a concern that the states don't have the same kind of resources as the federal government to be able to do this. And so it raises the question of, you know, who's going to pick up the tab and whether or not people will actually get this sort of benefit that Trump's obviously going to claim credit for.
Not to mention whether or not this is actually legal.
Absolutely. That's also a question, is, you know, what the legality of this is certainly a big question, the type of action that usually Congress does take. And Trump held off doing it, you know, until it was clear that Congress wasn't going to be able to reach a deal. And so I think that demonstrates that there were at least questions on the part of the administration about the legality of this. Now, it's going to be up to the Democrats or someone else to challenge it in court. And it's unclear yet whether they're going to do that. I think that politically for them, there's an argument that it could backfire for Trump, and so they may want to just let Trump, you know, have the issue rather than challenge it in court and get into a messy legal battle. We'll have to wait and see, though, how they handle it.
Okay, another aspect of this is our next story, the instruction to defer the payroll tax collection for some workers. What is the issue there?
Yeah, this is something that Trump has been talking about pretty vocally, and an idea that really gained very little traction on Capitol Hill. So he is already getting pushback, and likely will continue to get pushback from Republicans as well as Democrats on this one. I think the issue is that you know, businesses, it's twofold really. It's that businesses are against this because it creates complications for them. A lot of businesses are, and then also there's a fear that down the road it could backfire politically, because when you start messing with Medicare and Social Security, those are, you know, issues that are important to, you know, older voters. And one thing we know about older voters is that they tend to come out and vote. And so I think there's a concern that, you know, this Social Security is often seen as the third rail of American politics. So doing something this close to an election that could, jeopardize Social Security payments, I think, is viewed pretty widely as a political risk.
And our next story, well, it looks like the tensions between the United States and China have been ratcheted up once again. What's the story?
That's right. So we've been seeing this, kind of back and forth tit for tat between Washington and Beijing. And the U.S. took a step on Friday to sanction several Chinese officials, including Hong Kong's chief executive, Carrie Lam. What we saw this morning was Beijing's response, where they essentially responded in kind and decided to sanction 11 U.S. officials, including Senators Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz. So that's an interesting development that comes at the beginning of a week that's already going to be quite fraught in U.S.-China ties. There are going to be some major trade talks expected later this week. And obviously the signs going into that are not very indicative that a compromise could be in the offing. This is one of the kind of most tense times for U.S.-China ties in recent memory.
Kathleen, always a pleasure. Appreciate it. Bloomberg's Kathleen Hunter. Thanks very much. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And also a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. That's Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Nathan.
Okay, John, thank you. It is 6:53 on Wall Street. That's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked in the top 2% nationally for alumni mid-career earnings and number one for student upward economic mobility. Learn more at NJIT.com. Harvard.edu. Now let's see what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Billionaire philanthropist Bill Gates says it is, quote, mind-blowing that the U.S. hasn't improved its coronavirus testing. The Microsoft co-founder tells CNN the process is slow and lacks fair access. Gates says you can't get the government to improve the testing because it just wants to say how great it is. Gates and his wife have donated $350 million toward coronavirus research. Add Twitter to the names of U.S. tech companies that are interested in TikTok. The Wall Street Journal says the social media company had preliminary discussions about a deal with TikTok's parent ByteDance. Microsoft is still considered the leader if and when there is a deal for TikTok's U.S. operations. And a Japanese company is announcing plans to declutter space with a high-powered laser. The plan by Sky Perfect JSAT is the first to suggest arming a satellite with a laser to clear junk in the skies. According to the Telegraph, there are an estimated 900,000 shards of debris orbiting the planet that measure fewer than 3 inches in length. They pose a potential hazard to satellites that are still working and even the International Space Station. Sky Perfect is betting companies will pay up to ensure satellites are clear of anything that might cause them damage. That is today's Bloomberg NJIT STEM report, John.
All right, thanks, Nathan. 6:55 on Wall Street, and that is time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. At least one group of small businesses appears to be doing well during the pandemic, those that cater to outdoor activities. Rob Martinetti is a co-owner of a bicycle shop, Shrewsbury Bicycles in Shrewsbury, New Jersey, and he is joining us right now. Rob, were you forced to close for very long?
So we were forced to close for, I think it was just one day. And then the very next day, they declared bike shops along with auto repair places as essential. But it was very limited ability. Like, we basically couldn't have anybody in the store. So we had lines outside, you know, helping one person at a time, which was a bit challenging because literally the phones are ringing off the hook. We had lines down the street.
It sounds like business actually picked up to some degree.
Oh, no, it went right through the roof. I mean, it was like instantly business doubled to whatever it normally would have been.
Is there a downside to that?
Well, the first challenge we had is we immediately saw the need to load up on bikes because we knew that China was shut down for a few months and there was going to be a big demand and the supply was going to be a little short. So we got about 2 months worth of supply, more than we normally have coming into our season, which is a lot. I mean, a lot. So we couldn't handle it in store. I mean, we were storing bikes in the showroom because we couldn't have people in the showroom, like bike boxes. I had to get storage containers out in my parking lot. I had to get 5 pod containers, and that wasn't even enough. We had to rent a warehouse, and we basically filled that up with bikes. So we thought we were pretty far ahead of the curve, which we were to some extent, but that actually didn't last us nearly as long as we thought.
Rob, thanks a lot. Rob Martinetti, co-owner of Shrewsbury Bicycles, and we're going to continue to bring you stories of small businesses trying to survive and thrive during the pandemic every day at this time right here on Bloomberg Radio. And that is your Bloomberg Small Business Report. Nathan.
Thank you for that. S&P futures are moving higher to start off this new week. They're up 5 points now. Dow futures up 101. NASDAQ futures had been in the red for most of the morning. They're turning higher now, but not by much, by just 1 point. The 10-year Treasury is up 3/32, yield 0.55%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil is up almost 1.4%, up 57 cents, $41.79 a barrel. COMEX gold higher by 0.5%, up $10.10 at $20.38.10 an ounce. The euro now at 1.1746 against the dollar, and the yen is at 106.16. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow is up next for John Tucker. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.